Okay, so reading from The Unknown Reality, Volume 2 by Jane Roberts, a Seth book. Session 708, September 30th, 1974. So let me just add right here that there was literally a 14-week hiatus before this next session came out, and Seth picked right back up where he left off with no problems. All right, so Seth states, consciousness operates with what you may call code systems. These are beyond count. Consciousness differentiates itself, therefore, by operating within certain code systems that help direct particular kinds of focus, bringing in certain kinds of significances while blocking out other data. These other data, of course, might well be significant in different code systems. In their way, however, these systems are interrelated, so that at other levels there is communication between them. Secondary data, you might say, that is supportive but not primarily concentrated upon. These code systems involve molecular constructions and light values, and in certain ways, the light values are as precisely and effectively used as your alphabet is. For example, certain kinds of life obviously respond to spectrums with which you are not familiar. But beyond that, there are electromagnetic ranges, or rather extensions of electromagnetic ranges, completely unknown to you, to which other life forms respond. Again, all of these code systems are interrelated. In the same way, the private psyche contains within it hints and glimpses of other alternate realities. These operate as secondary code, so to speak, beneath the existence that you officially recognize. Such secondary systems can tell you much about the potentials of human reality, those that are latent but can at any time be quote-unquote raised to primary importance. Such secondary systems also point toward the probable developments possible for individuals or species. All of the probabilities practically possible in human development are therefore present to some extent or another in each individual. Any biological or spiritual advancement that you might imagine will, of course, not come from the outside agency, but from within the heritage of consciousness made flesh. Generally, those alive in this century chose a particular kind of orientation. The species chose to specialize in certain kinds of physical manipulation, to devote its energies in certain directions. Those directions have brought forth a reality unique in its own fashion. Man has not driven himself down a blind alley, in other words. He has been studying the nature of his consciousness, using it as if it were apart from the rest of nature, and therefore seeing nature and the world in a particular light. That light has finally made him feel isolated, alone, and to some extent, relatively powerless. He is learning how to use the light of his own consciousness and discovering how far one particular method of using it can be counted upon. He is studying what he can do and not do with that particular focus. He is now discovering that he needs other light also. In other words, that he has been relying upon only a small portion of an entire inner searchlight that can be used in many directions. Let us look at some of those other directions that are native to man's consciousness, still waiting to be used effectively. I am speaking in your historical terms because before the historical system that you recognize, man had indeed experimented with these other directions, and with some success. This does not mean that man in the present has fallen from some higher spiritual achievement to his current state. There are cycles in which consciousness forms earthly experience and maps out historical sequences. So there have been other species of mankind beside your own, each handling physical data in its own way. Some have taken other directions, therefore, than the one that you have chosen. Even those paths are latent or secondary, however, within your own private and mass experience. They reside within you, presenting you with alternate realities that you may or may not choose privately, or in mass, as you prefer. Each system, of course, brings forth its own culture, quote-unquote technology, art, and science. The physical body is basically equipped to maintain itself as a healthy, long-living organism, far beyond your present understanding, medically speaking. The cellular comprehension provides all kinds of inner therapeutics that operate quite naturally. There is a physical give and take between the body and environment, beyond that which you recognize, an inner dynamics here that escapes you, that unites the health of plants, animals, and men. In the most simple and mundane of examples, if you are living in a fairly well-balanced, healthy environment, your house plants and your animals will also be well. You form your environment, and you are a part of it. You react to it, often forgetting that relationship. Ideally, the body has the capacity to keep itself in excellent health, but beyond that, to maintain itself at the highest levels of physical achievement. The exploits of your greatest athletes give you a hint of the body's true capacity. In your system of beliefs, however, those athletes must train and focus all of their attention in that direction, often at the expense of other portions of their own experience. But their performance shows you what the body is capable of. The body is equipped, ideally again now, to rid itself of any diseases, and to maintain its stability into what you would call advanced old age, with only a gradual overall change. At its best, however, the change would bring about spiritual alterations. When you leave for a vacation, for example, you close down your house. In these ideal terms, death would involve a closing down of your physical house. It would not be crumbling about you. Now, certain individuals glimpse this great natural healing ability of the body and use it. Doctors sometimes encounter it with a patient when a so-called incurable disease suddenly recovers. Miraculous, in quotes, miraculous healings are simply instances of nature unimpeded. Complete physicians, as mentioned earlier, that would be in volume one, complete physicians would be persons who understood the true nature of the body and its own potentials, persons who would therefore transmit such ideas to others and encourage them to trust the validity of the body. Some of the body's abilities will seem impossible to you, for you have no evidence to support them. Many organs can completely replace themselves. Diseased portions can be replaced by new tissue. Many people, without knowing it, have developed cancer and rid themselves of it. Appendixes removed by operation have grown back. These powers of the body are biologically quite achievable in practical terms, but only by a complete change of focus and belief. Your insistence upon separating yourselves from nature automatically prevent you from trusting the biological aspects of the body, and your religious concepts further alienate you from the body's spirituality. In your reality, your consciousness is usually identified with the body. On the other hand, that is, you think of your consciousness as being always within your flesh. Yet many individuals have found themselves outside of the body, fully conscious and aware. Under certain conditions, therefore, the body can maintain itself while the main consciousness, in quotes, is away from it. The body consciousness is quite able then to provide the overall equilibrium. At certain levels of the sleep state, this does in fact happen. In sleepwalking, the body is active, but the main consciousness is not, quote unquote, awake. It is not manipulating the body. The main consciousness is elsewhere. Under such conditions, the body can perform tasks and often maneuver within an amazing sense of balance. This finesse, again, hints at physical abilities not ordinarily used. The main consciousness, because of its beliefs, often hampers such manipulability in normal waking life. Let us look for a moment at the body consciousness. It is equipped as an animal is to perform beautifully in its environment. You would call it mindless, since it would seem not to reason. For the purpose of this discussion alone, imagine a body with a fully operating body consciousness, not diseased for any reason or defective by birth, but one without the overriding ego-directed consciousness that you have. There have been species of such a nature. In your terms, they would seem to be like sleepwalkers, yet their physical abilities surpass yours. They were indeed as agile as animals, nor were they unconscious. They simply dealt with a different kind of awareness. In your terms, they did not have an overall purpose. Yet their purpose was simply to be. Their main points of consciousness were elsewhere, in another kind of reality, while their physical manifestations were separate. Their primary focuses of consciousness were scarcely aware of the bodies they had created. Yet even those bodies learned through experience, in quotes, and began to, quote unquote, awaken. To become aware of themselves, to discover time or to create it. The sleepwalkers, as we will call them, were not asleep to themselves and would seem so only from your viewpoint. There were several such races of human beings. Their overall primary experience was outside of the body. The physical, corporeal existence was a secondary effect. To them, the real was the dream life, which contained the highest stimuli, the most focused experience, the most maintained purpose, the most meaningful activity, and the most organized social and cultural behavior. Now, this is the other side of your own experience, so to speak. Such races left the physical earth much as they found it. The main activity then involved consciousness apart from the body. In your terms, physical culture was rudimentary. Now, the physical organism as such is capable of that kind of reality system. It is not better or worse than your own. It is simply alternate behavior, biologically and spiritually possible. No complicated physical transportation systems were set up. In the physical state, in what you would call the waking state, these individuals slept. To you, comparatively speaking, their waking activities would seem dreamlike, and yet they behaved with great natural physical grace, allowing the body to function to capacity. They did not saddle it with negative beliefs of disease or limitation. The bodies did not age to the extent now that yours do. and enjoyed the great ease and sense of belonging with the environment. Consciousness connected with the flesh, then, has great leeway spiritually and biologically, and can focus itself in many ways with and through the flesh, beside your own particular orientation. There have been highly sophisticated, developed civilizations that would not be apparent to you because the main orientation was mental or psychic, while the physical race itself would seem to be highly undeveloped. In some of their own private dreams, many of my readers will have discovered a reality quite as valid as the normal one, and sometimes more so. These experiences can give you some vague hint of the kind of existence I am speaking of. There are also physical apparatuses connected with the hibernation abilities of some animals that can give further clues as to the possible relationships of consciousness to the body. Under certain conditions, for example, consciousness can leave the corporal mechanism while it remains intact, functioning, but at a maintenance level. When optimum conditions return, then the consciousness reactivates the body. Such behavior is possible not only with the animals. In systems different from your own, there are realities in which physical organisms are activated after what would seem to you to be centuries of inactivity, again, when the conditions are right. To some extent, your own life and death cycles are simply another aspect of the hibernation principle as you understand it. Your own consciousness leaves the body almost in the same way that messages leap the nerve ends. The consciousness is not destroyed in the meantime. Now, in the case of an animal who hibernates, the body is in the same state. But in the greater hibernation of your own experience, the body as a whole becomes inoperable. The cells within you obviously die constantly. The body that you have now is not the one that you had 10 years ago. Its physical composition has died completely many times since your birth. But again, your consciousness bridges those gaps. They could be accepted instead, in which case it would seem to you that they were, say, a reincarnated self at age 7 or 14 or 21. The particular sequence of your own awareness follows through, however. In basic terms, the body dies often, and as surely as you think it dies but once in the death you recognize, on numerous occasions it physically breaks apart, but your consciousness rides beyond those quote-unquote deaths. You do not perceive them. The stuff of your body literally falls into the earth many times, as you think it does only at the, quote, end of your life, end quote. Again, your consciousness triumphantly rides above those deaths that you do not recognize as such. In your chosen three-dimensional existence, however, and in those terms, your consciousness finally recognizes a death. From the outside, it is nearly impossible to pinpoint that intersection of consciousness and the seeming separation from the body. There is a time when you, as a consciousness, decide that death will happen, when in your terms you no longer bridge the gap of minute deaths not accepted. Here, consciousness decides to leave the flesh, to accept an official death. You have already chosen a context, however, and it seems that the context is inevitable. It appears then that the body will last so long and no longer. The fact remains that you have chosen the kind of consciousness that identifies with the flesh for a certain period of time. Other species of consciousness of a different order entirely, and with a different rhythm of experience, would think of a life in your terms as a day, and have no trouble bridging that gap between apparent life, death, and new life. Some individuals find themselves with memories of other lives, which are other days to the soul. Such persons then become aware of a greater consciousness reaching over those gaps, and realize that earthly experience can contain, among other things, a knowledge of existence in more than one body. Inherently, then, consciousness, affiliated with the flesh, can indeed carry such comprehensions. The mind of man, as you know it, shows at least the potential ability for handling a kind of memory with which you are usually not acquainted. This means that even biologically, the species is equipped to deal with different sequences of time while still manipulating within one particular time scheme. This also implies a far greater psychological richness, quite possible again within the corporeal reality, in which many of the relationships can be handled. Such inner knowledge is inherent in the cells, and in ordinary terms of evolution, is quite possible as a quote-unquote future development. Knowledge is usually passed down through the ages in your reality, through books and historic writings, yet each individual contains within himself or herself a vast repository. Direct knowledge of the past, in your terms, through unconscious comprehension. The unknown reality, much of that reality is unknown, simply because your beliefs close you off from your own knowledge. The reaches of your own consciousness are not limited. Because you accept the idea of a straight line movement of time, you cannot see before or after what you think of as your birth or death. Yet your greater consciousness is quite aware of such experience. Ideally, it is possible not only to remember quote-unquote past lives, but to plan future ones now. In greater terms, all such lives happen at once. Your present neurological structure makes these seem impossible. Yet your inner consciousness is not so impeded. Alright, so this video is getting a little bit long and there are a few notes at the end of this session. So I'm going to make a part 2 with starting with practice element number 10.